Hey fam, it's Kanisha here. Welcome to episode 11 of Fam Talk. I've missed you over the past 2 weeks, but I'm so glad to be here today to share another episode with you. I have a very special guest today. I can honestly say that I would literally be nothing without her because she is my lovely mother. She joined me to discuss the decisions and sacrifices she made while raising my sister and me, and what qualities she felt were most important to instill in us. I won't keep you from this great conversation any longer, so let's get into it. Thank you for joining me today, Mommy.
My pleasure.
Okay, so I was kind of waiting to bring you on the podcast until I found something to talk about because, I mean, you're my mother, so I know that there are things we can talk about, but I wanted to find the right thing. And we were talking the other day, and it just clicked for me something that might be interesting to discuss. So we were kind of talking about how you watched differences in my own self-confidence as I was homeschooled and then when I went out to school. So did you want to talk a little bit more about that? And let's start a little bit earlier with why you decided to homeschool us, because we were homeschooled, my sister and I, for the first time I went to school was in third grade, and then you brought us back home. I was in third grade and she was in fifth. And then you brought us back home for another 2-3 years until we went back up to school when I was in sixth grade. What were the factors that had you thinking about homeschool, and what actually drew you to the conclusion that that's what you should do for us?
Well, when Adana was 4 and I was looking for pre-K programs, I visited schools in my area, and I wasn't pleased with any that I saw. I always thought that I would have, that when I have kids and they're ready for school, I would find a church school and they would go to. I remember leaving this school in particular after I went in and I spoke to the teacher and I observed the classroom, you know, and kids were there, and I left there. And I was like really teary-eyed because it wasn't an environment that I would have felt comfortable leaving you guys in. And I left there and I just decided that I'm gonna order a curriculum to start Adana in pre-K. And I ordered the curriculum, and each year I just kept adding. I'm like, okay, I could do this. Okay, I could do this. So when I started, I didn't have plans that it would have been something that I would have done as long as I did, but that's what I did. And fast forward a couple years later, when you would have been in third grade and Adana was in fifth, what made me look at a church school option again is that I was dealing with my brother who was diagnosed with cancer, and the previous school year, just being around and trying to be there and being supportive for him, I just couldn't see myself being able to give yourself and Adana the attention that you would need. And I went to my second best option. We did church school that year.
So when you were homeschooling us, I know there's like this whole stigma about homeschooling that some friends might joke about of mine, having to deal with homeschool children being a little bit odd or interesting in the least flattering way. What reactions did you get from people? Because obviously it probably wasn't as big of a deal when Adana was 4 that you were homeschooling her as it might have been when she was ready for first grade or second grade. So what did you get from people about it? Did anyone try to dissuade you from doing it?
No. Among my siblings, they were always very, very supportive. I always got support from my siblings. There was one day that this relative of mine came by, and she came by the house, and she asked Adana. Adana might have been 7 or 8, and she said, "You're not going to school?" And Adana said, "I'm homeschooled." And she turned and she slapped me on the butt in a playful way, and she said, "Send that child to school." And I know she said it jokingly, but I know she was serious.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder, specifically because as a child, well, not just as a child, still now, I am a more reserved person than my sister was. So I'm wondering if that increased as I got older versus Adana. Because you didn't send Adana to school until she was in... Well, you already kind of gave the backstory on that, but first time Adana went to school was 5th grade. The first time I went to school was 3rd grade. Mm-hmm. And then you brought us back home. So I'm wondering, did you get any feedback about me or my interactions and people feeling like I wasn't socialized enough?
No, I never got any feedback from people. I mean, they may have said things behind my back.
Right.
But in terms of saying things to me, at home, you were a very outgoing person. And I mean, whenever you were in a group with kids in your younger years, I thought you were pretty much
social. One of my friends asked me the other day what I was like as a child in reference to like what I have done such and such. Because I think I had a student that was acting up or something like that. And Kristen was asking me if that was me in my music lessons. I'm like, no, I was never one to act up in public. I'm sure I got in trouble. I wasn't perfect, but I wasn't going to go out and act crazy anywhere.
No.
But that like makes me think I don't really know what I was like as a child, because my memories of that are, my childhood is like a couple of days to me, honestly. Sometimes I feel like it's like 3 days that I lump together and it's just kind of disappears, which is a little bit sad, but what was I like as a child? And what do you see in me that remains, like that has been constant?
You have always been a visionary.
Oh,
from
so
the
sweet.
Time you were very small, you always came to me with, "Mommy, I have an idea." You always had a pad and a pen, and you were always planning. You were a planner from very early. When you were younger, you enjoyed performing.
In what sense?
Oh, you would have concerts in the house and no one could talk.
Would I be playing my violin or?
Sometimes playing your violin, sometimes directing a choir, sometimes dancing. Oh, dancing, you love dancing. And you would dance, sometimes you would dance and play the violin all in one. And the ballerina outfits. And the historic outfits. You enjoyed history and you wanted to relive every day, every experience. You were going to relive that.
Mm-hmm.
You went to the Renaissance Festival and you stayed in that time period for a while. Yeah,
it was a couple hundred years. I had to give it time, man.
And then some days you were the Victorian lady.
Did I ever play a slave?
Never. I don't ever remember that.
I rewrote the book because I was not about to be serving anybody. But that's interesting.
Yeah, you enjoyed role playing. And sometimes you would role play with me and you wanted me to be the mommy. And I always said no.
You wanted to be the baby?
Yes.
Like, this is too close to home. This is my real life.
If we're going to play?
If we're playing, I'm not making you food. You're making me food. In what ways did you notice my personality change as I went to school? Did you notice it when I went out to school in 3rd grade, or was it more later?
No, 3rd grade. I guess the school environment for you at 3rd grade, for you it was just like a nice little playgroup.
I don't have many memories of 3rd grade, but I just remember it being ridiculously easy.
Yeah, it was not challenging for you at all. It was just like a nice playgroup.
Yeah.
And you were able to socialize. And after that, yeah, I realized, homeschool isn't perfect. Neither is school.
Yeah.
So we went back home for fourth and sixth grade and stayed home for another 2 or 3 years. But the way that I found, I didn't see it in third grade. I saw it in fourth, in sixth
Sixth
grade
grade.
when you went to the Baptist Christian school. And I don't know if for you, just going into a new environment and people being in classes with people who probably had relationships that existed
Prior, yeah.
before you got there, and it just didn't seem like a fit.
Yeah, I didn't find my group of people, I guess. And I feel like for most of my school experiences, I have been walking in on other people's established, I don't know even what to call it, but their lives were set and I walked in, and it was like I might have a person in the class who was my best friend, but I wasn't considered their best friend. So it's kind of like a one-sided thing that you know it's one-sided. And it feels a little bit off. But yeah, I would definitely say that most of the situations I walked into were I'm like I'm coming in the middle. Like if I was coming in the middle of a school year, even though that's not what was happening, but it kind of felt like it's like when people are, you know, having their little inside jokes or and I'm sure it wasn't anything substantial, but it's just this bond that was fortified a little bit more.
And I think, in a way, you are like me with that. I, as a child, I never liked getting anywhere late because if I got somewhere late, I just felt as though I didn't fit into the group. I mean, nothing could have been going on before, but I just wanted to be there from the
From the get-go.
get-go. And I think for you in school, I think you have that same type where, you know, it's just hard to get in there and find your place.
Yeah, and although that's how I've felt in most scenarios, I don't think I really regret being homeschooled. Like, I don't wish to have been in those scenarios for longer because there are little things that irritate me about school. Like I said, I wasn't one to act out or be disruptive in any way, and I found that ridiculously irritating when we couldn't get anything done because somebody was acting a fool in class or even the amount of work I was able to get done at home. Like, I feel like, yeah, sometimes my work day, not work day, but school day could be spread out along a longer period of time, but also there were a lot of days where we could have been done early and I could go outside and climb a tree like I wanted to be doing. So yeah, I don't think I would have traded it for that because I feel like I missed a lot of foolery. I missed out on it, and I'm perfectly fine with that, honestly. But it was just an interesting thing to notice looking back on it.
And I can't say that I observe that same thing with Adana, because I felt like Adana went to school. You know, she went to a Christian school for 3 years for eighth and ninth grade, and then she entered a public school. And I think in both places, she found herself some friends where she sort of fit in.
Yeah, I was talking to Adana. Adana recently, I've been trying to get her to do her personality test, the Myers-Briggs personality test, for a really long time. She finally did it. And her personality type is about 12%, I believe, of the population has her personality type out of the 16 personality types. And for mine, it's less than 1%. And so they say for my personality type, often have the feeling of being misunderstood. Number one, because it's so rare, and then just number two, it's very different in some ways to a lot of others. And so while I guess it's like, you know how blood types, some you can't have everybody's blood type, but there's like, is it O? O negative or whatever, that is universal. And some personality types just seem to like mesh well with a lot of different people, whereas mine, it's a little bit more specialized. I don't know how to explain it, but it's different. And also, you know, her being an extrovert, me being an introvert, it's still also a little bit different in that way. But yeah, there are a lot of factors that can determine why it would be so much easier for one person to build those bonds versus another. And I think also for me, I've always, for as long as I can remember, I've always wanted more substantial relationships. I was never really
the fluffy girl.
Yeah, I was never really satisfied with like, oh, we have this class together, I see you when I'm in that class, that means we are friends. Like, no, I needed more always. And so I just remember like leaving school and like wanting to do things with people, wanting to hang out with friends or call friends, and other people weren't really doing that. I don't know why not, but they weren't. I guess because a lot of people had their own friends like in their neighborhood or whatever, and also going to private schools, your friends are all over the place. Mm-hmm. So distance also at times could be a thing. So yeah, I realized that that's kind of been my burden to bear throughout my life. It's just been wanting more substantial relationships and friendships than have been available to me. Do you have any questions for me?
What is your fondest memory of being a homeschooler?
Fondest memory? I was actually just talking to someone about this last night. Cherish was asking me, what is the biggest lesson, the greatest lesson you've learned from your parents? And for you, I said, you have always fostered my creativity and entrepreneurial spirit. I never felt like any of my ideas were dismissed by you. And I remember in fourth grade when we were doing a unit about the Egyptians, we were talking about the embalming process, and in the book there was a recipe to make embalming oil, and it had like the base oil, and you put all of these herbs and spices in it, and you sit it outside for a month or two or whatever it was. And I did that, and then I got the idea to start a scented oil business, and you took me to wherever it was. I don't even know where you found
a place in Atlanta.
Yeah, to get the little bottles, and we got the labels, and got me my little oils, and I was mixing and selling. I don't know how many I sold, probably like 5, but I had a lot of bottles.
No, it was right after Orlando's wedding, so we had a lot of family in town, you racked up.
Oh, did I? Did we break even? Did I pay you back? Yeah, I'm still in debt for that.
I still, you have a running bill.
No return on investment, yeah. But yeah, I think that's probably my fondest memory. Just being able to pursue things that I wanted to pursue and learn about things that I wanted to learn. Because I feel like when you're homeschooled, you're really able to dig in to the things mm-hmm. that interest you. And you can notice, you as a parent can notice that I'm interested in this. Yeah. And you can build a math lesson around it. You can build a, because I'm selling these oils, we're talking about addition, subtraction, multiplication, mm-hmm. all of those things can be applied. And in that way you can be learning and not notice it. And I've always really appreciated when I learn something, I like to know what it's used for. I think that's one of the things that frustrated me so immensely with pre-calculus. Not pre-calculus, sorry, further back, pre-algebra. Because they're teaching you all of these things, but it doesn't apply to anything. I don't know if it was just the class I was in, but they weren't applying it anywhere. So you're learning all these little rules, all these little things, but not really seeing where it comes in. And that frustrated me to no end. But I really like seeing the usefulness of things. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you're in class and the teacher's teaching you something and you're like, when will I ever use this? And because you feel like you're never going to use it, the joy of learning it is kind of not so important. But when it feels like a necessity, like, I have to know this in order to run my business, like, it's the sense of energy. urge. That's not a word. The sense of urgency is there a little bit more. So I think that's really cool to be able to have that. Do you feel that there were any drawbacks to homeschooling us? I don't know.
Yeah, drawbacks. I enjoyed homeschooling a whole lot. For me, a drawback is I wish I didn't have to work at all. I was a working homeschool mom. And
so can you go through what you did? Because I feel like you had a lot of different types of work schedules in order to try to make this whole thing work. So what did you do? Tell the people.
I'm a pharmacist. I was able to work part-time, PRN, which is as needed. And back when yourself and Adana was being homeschooled, I was able to carve out the schedule that I wanted. So some days each school year it was a different plan.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have like a set schedule, you know. I tried several things. I tried working I worked like 2 days a week. And
so you worked 2 days a week. Where were we? Oh, like on the weekends?
No, I worked 2 days in the week. And your dad and I worked opposite
schedules. Mm-hmm.
I would leave assignments for you. There was one time when I had Rolanda. She was a college student. And she would come 2 days a week.
I remember that.
And she would do history and I think the language arts.
Mm-hmm.
And she would do that with you guys. So I've worked day shift. I've worked evening shift where Kenny and I staggered or shifts. Grandparents were around. My parents were still around. So sometimes if I worked an evening shift, he would drop you there or they would come to the house. Most times they would come to the house. But most of it was just working. I remember one time I went into work like 4 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I worked until from 4 to 9.
Oh, man.
Yeah, 4 to 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And so
that's just odd.
Yeah, but I was willing to do whatever I needed to do so that I could homeschool.
What was it like when you were doing 7 on, 7 off at some point?
Yes, the last year of homeschooling, I did 7 on, 7 off.
Night shift.
So I would...
What was the 7 on like?
The 7 on...
That sounds
awful. It was a lot.
Yeah.
But when you work a 7 on, 7 off shift, you're really working for the 7 off.
Right.
And you just try to endure the 7 nights or 7 days or 7 evenings with this reward at the end.
Yeah.
The 7 days. And you work for 70 hours and you got paid for 80. So you're working for 10 bonus hours and 7 days off. I don't even want to think of myself as this homeschool mom. My desire was to create independent learners. And more than me being a homeschool mom, I think yourself and Adana were just independent learners.
Yeah.
And so I would leave, work assigned. I mean, the earlier years, yes, it required less time. And I was that mom who taught the basics.
You know, I was interviewing for an internship once. And somehow it got out that I was homeschooled. And the interviewer said, oh, that's great. I've had good experiences hiring homeschoolers because they take initiative and you don't have to explain to them as detailed what they need to do in order for them to do it. And I saw that in school. The teacher would explain something and then I don't know if kids were just playing dumb or what. Not playing dumb, but playing dumb. or what? Because the teacher would explain it and then they would have all these questions that I felt like, I mean, come on, guys, like, common sense. Let's use our intuition. Not intuition, but let's use our heads. Not comprehension. What's the word? Critical thinking, yeah. Let's use our critical thinking skills here. But the other day, I was talking to someone, and then I realized that my concept of learning isn't attached to school. And I think that's a really great thing to have, because for the most part, I do better learning at home. I do best seeing something demonstrated or listening, I pick up a lot from listening, but when I'm alone studying, I feel like I learn so much more. And I think it's a really great thing to foster in a child, just that independence and knowing that, like, anything you want to learn about, you don't have to wait to be enrolled in a class to figure it out. I mean, and now with all of the resources available on the internet, like, it's really just the world is open.
Another drawback, as you were asking me about drawbacks, is that my off days, I didn't really feel as though I had off days, because my off days were spent either correcting work or preparing work.
Yeah.
And so even when I ran errands, you're doing things and you're telling yourself, I need to get back home, or I should be home. So you had this, I had this sort of guilt when I was out that, am I using my time wisely? You know, am I stealing time from...
Always working.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it, but it was a drawback because you felt that part could be stressful, you know. And sometimes when you homeschool and family members, although they mean well, but sometimes they don't think that homeschooling is important.
Yeah.
And that they could interrupt you for things that if I'm in someone's pharmacy working, no one is going to call me about
whatever
it is, regardless of how important it is. They're not going to disturb my day from that.
Yeah.
But as a homeschooler, so you really have to set boundaries.
It's probably similar to being an entrepreneur.
Right.
Working from home and just setting those boundaries for yourself. Like, this is my time to do this.
Yeah.
Respect that.
Yeah.
All right, so we talked about the drawbacks of homeschool. What do you think were the greatest benefits, aside from creating independent learners?
Having a teacher who you're sure loves your student and has that student's best interests at heart.
Yeah, I never think have to worry about that.
Never have to worry about that. Students being able to sleep until they're rested.
Yeah. You know, dragging children out of their beds. Yeah, I just... Morning. When did we start school, typically? When did we get up?
You normally started school about... Probably got up about 8. 7:30-ish, 8. Have breakfast. And school usually started at 9. Some days we may have started at 8. Mm-hmm. But if we started at 9, we were good.
Nice commute, huh?
Yeah. But we had a bus ride.
Oh, yeah. We had, I don't know why we use this train whistle, but we had this wooden train whistle. And we always wanted to ride the school bus. So you would pick us up in our rooms. You'd walk through the house, blow in the whistle, pick us up at our rooms, and we'd take the bus to school.
Around the house?
Around the house.
Yeah. Being homeschooled, you just have less distraction and less waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Recess was long. We were able to work at our own pace. You know, it was just annoying to me, like, when you guys went out to school and you're in a class and you have to move to the pace of the class. And if it's a topic that you are not as strong in and you need more time spent on that, you have to think of a schedule, a class schedule that you just got to go with.
Yeah.
And that just didn't make sense. Or they might be doing something that you have already mastered.
Yeah. But you have to stay on it.
And you have to stay on it. And if they need you to do 40 problems, you need to do the 40 problems. You know, that just didn't make sense. Peer pressure was something that you didn't have to deal with as a homeschooler. It limited peer pressure, you know. You have kids in school and they deal with, you know, being teased for probably the shoes that they wear or the sneakers that they wear or the way their hair is combed or something. And you guys were never really caught up in that. And not every school's child gets caught up in that, but it's something that happens at school.
What about activities that you put us in? In what ways did you try to make sure that we had interaction with other children?
We did swimming, and we were able to meet other homeschoolers.
Was that swimming as a part of a homeschool group, or?
No. I wasn't really a part of a lot of homeschool group because my schedule was one that I made, and I wasn't home every day, so I had to look for things that worked with my program.
Mm-hmm.
I did some group activities, but most of the activities that yourself and Adana did were activities that we sort of carved out to meet our needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we did swimming. We paid for a group class 1 year, and we ended up getting private classes because...
Group class in what?
Swimming.
Oh.
We were the only ones that signed up for that class. We did music, violin, and piano. And for 2 or 3 years, we did, with violin, we did orchestra. And it was a full program, so they had an orchestra, and they had other group classes plus... private classes. Adana got to be a part of a small group as well, and got opportunity to play at several places throughout the Metro Atlanta area. We did dance, ballet, tap, and jazz, and we did that at different times. 1 year we did it with other homeschoolers, and 1 year we did it just with, it's an after school
mm-hmm.
program. And everything you guys did, I didn't introduce you all to anything that you didn't want to continue doing. Can't think of anything that I took you to that it was tears to go again. It was always sad if we couldn't continue something.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that brought you guys the most fun was dance.
Yeah. I wish I could go to another dance class. I was just looking for a dance class the other day. There's nothing interesting that I can find in Huntsville right now. But I think we inadvertently answered the other questions that I had for you. It was, what lessons did you want to impart to us as children? And I think we kind of touched on that a bit. Is there anything else that you think?
Competing against yourself, I think neither yourself nor Adana were competitive at all.
Yeah, no.
And as a homeschooler, you're competing against yourself. You're just trying to do better than you did, yesterday. So yourself was the marker, being the best self.
Great. Comparing across is not necessarily healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think
sometimes in school, when they give projects and to young kids. And you could always tell from the project, the kids whose dad is probably an engineer.
Yeah.
Or have a science background, or, how that child would do in the project. And it's sort of unfair to, for one child whose dad is a engineer, and he comes with his little project with the wires and the electrical wires running and everything.
Yeah.
And then this other little child whose parent is probably not as involved in their learning, and parents probably barely finished high school. It's like they're competing.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be, And I think of the parable with Jesus when people were bringing their gifts. And this woman everyone was bringing their big grand gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman brought her widow's mite.
Which is an insignificant amount.
Amount. But the master recognized that as her all.
Yeah.
She wasn't competing with those who brought their big gifts, which,
For them, it wasn't anything.
No
but
effort.
For her, it was everything.
Everything, yeah.
Are there any lessons that you've taught us that you think you've changed your opinion on since teaching us those lessons?
Hmm.
Any ways that you feel your thinking has evolved?
I can't think of anything. Anything you could think of? Do you think?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
No, I can't think of anything.
And having conversations with people, we're talking about the idea of how much you should have figured out personally before you decide to become a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And just feeling like there are certain things that you want to work out yourself before trying to explain those things to another person. So I was just wondering, I mean, it seemed like you were very young when you had us.
No, I wasn't young.
34 when you had me. So I feel like you had time to kind of think through some things, mm-hmm. and maybe evolve in your thinking past what a 22-year-old mother might have at the time,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that you weren't really growing up with us. You're pretty grown. Pretty grown already. I was just wondering about that. Do you feel like you felt prepared to be a parent when you had us? Did you feel, like, ready?
I was ready, but I don't know how prepared, because each child just come with a different, with no manual.
Mm-hmm.
And if a manual was to be written, it was going to be so different. And
so it's definitely a learn on the job type of situation.
Yeah.
Because
and I just
you never know what you're going to be dealing with until.
And I always look for people who had children. I always look at people that I admire and always try to pick their brain for what they're doing right.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them for tips, and I didn't feel as though I had to be
the all-knowing one.
I always welcome people, you know, who could come in there and make a difference in your lives. I didn't have to do it all.
Yeah.
You know. What is something that you think if we were able to do this again, start over, what are some things that you think I could have done differently?
I don't know that it's necessarily anything that you could have done differently. I personally, because this isn't really about you, I personally always wanted to have a best friend.
Mm.
And I didn't for most of my life. Yeah, definitely not until high school. And, like, kind of mid-high school, honestly. Because I kind of always felt like, even though I had, like, closer friends in high school, I kind of still always felt like I wasn't necessarily their best friend.
Mm-hmm.
It was that kind of thing. And yeah, so that is probably my main complaint from childhood. I honestly, as a child, felt lonely a lot. I never liked to play with myself. I'm sure you could attest to that. Like, in my performances, you'd say everyone had to sit and everybody had to listen. I wasn't content with just performing for myself or
one
person. Yeah, my dolls. Everyone needed to be attentive and they're watching and listening. So I tended to feel lonely a lot. And even though Adana was only 2.5 years older than me, it felt a bigger gap than that, because her friends somehow tended to be older. Not significantly older, but older. And I always looked very small for my age, and Adana always kind of looked a little older than she was. Because I think she's been the height she is since, like, I don't know, 7th grade. And in 7th grade, I was really small, so...
You were getting crayons at...
Yeah, I remember going to Walmart, and they handed me a little coloring page for pull-ups. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't remember how old I was, but I was not, like, pull-up age. But yeah, that's been my life. So I felt a lot of loneliness as a child. I think that... I don't know that you could have done anything to change. On my podcast with Adana, my interview with Adana, I talked a little bit about how relationships change.
Mm-hmm.
How have you noticed your relationship with your children change over the years? And are there like key moments that you like felt a shift, or has it just been kind of gradual? Because, you know, a lot of people have trouble like letting go and seeing their children as people who can think and come to conclusions on their own and all of that. And I don't think I've ever felt that from you, that you didn't see me as a whole person. Can you think of key moments that you felt?
I can't think of any key moments. I just I think in each phase of your life, like in after 10th grade, being home 10th grade year, and 11th grade going away to a boarding school, I know like things that I've done surprise people, because you know, just like you, I think people could box you in and they think they know exactly that Kenesha would not do this, or Kenesha don't care about this. They think they know who you are.
Yeah.
And I think there were, you know, people in my life who didn't understand me.
Yeah.
And they thought that I was just so attached to you and Adana that when you and Adana left home,
you would fall apart.
I would fall apart. And I never felt that way.
Yeah.
As long as you guys were happy,
yeah,
I was happy. There are times I cried, if you cried.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't like, you know, with each step, I think I prayed about it and I had a peace. And I believe I was doing what was right for each child. And I had that peace. So to me, it was like a gradual release.
Yeah. So I know that I am not complete as a person, because we are evolving and changing and growing until the day we die. Mm-hmm. But what do you feel you have imparted successfully to me?
That you have a love for God, you respect your peers and those in authority, and you have a love for learning. And that was important to me. I think both you and your sister love people, love God, and have a desire to learn and enjoy life. I think you both know how to enjoy life.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've learned from you is really not waiting to live your life. Mm-hmm. So not waiting for the weekend, or mm-hmm. not waiting for retirement, or, you know, mental health days. I learned yes. that from you. You frequently took mental health days. Like, I need this for my own sanity. And I am a firm believer in that, like, taking time when you need it.
Even in school, I would always tell people, you know, I know people who say, my child would not miss school. They're going to have the perfect attendance. I was never impressed with perfect attendance.
I remember...
We didn't have to have perfect attendance.
I remember going to the school that I went to from middle school, going to their high school graduation, and there were some kids that I went to school with that had perfect attendance from kindergarten until graduation from high school. And that, like, just thinking about that made me nauseous. Just a little bit. Just like, oh my gosh. That's way too much.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that, so.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I couldn't imagine that.
When we're there, we're going to work hard.
Yeah, when we're not.
When we're not, we're going to play hard.
Well, thank you, Mommy, for joining me today and for sharing your insight into who I am and your kind of behind the scenes take on what you were trying to do.
Trying to behind, do it, yeah.
Behind the scenes there. And that's a wrap. I hope that this conversation has encouraged you to reach out to someone who was instrumental in your own upbringing and ask them about the decisions and sacrifices they made for you. Remember, there are some things that you'll never know about a person until you ask. So here on Fam Talk, we ask those questions that often go unasked. Everyone was placed in your life for a reason. So learn all you can from each person you cross paths with. If you're new to the fam, subscribe, rate, and review. Check out Fam Talk Pod on Instagram and Facebook.
and feel free to email me anytime at famtalkpodcast@gmail.com with comments or suggestions. You have been listening to Fam Talk. I am your host, Kenesha Rice, and I will be back here in 2 weeks with another great conversation. But until then, I'm sending peace and love your way. Later, fam.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.